Hello and welcome everybody to Awaken the Healer Within. I'm your host, Jason Prawl, and today with me I have Josh Trent. He's the founder of Wellness Force Media and host of the Wellness Force podcast. He's spent the last 18 years as a trainer, researcher, and facilitator discovering the physical and emotional intelligence for humans to thrive in our modern world. He holds a CES certification from National Academy of Sports Medicine and is the creator of the Breathe program, a 21-day guided breath and wellness program using ancient wisdom to boost your immunity, calm your mind, and give you freedom from chronic stress in the modern world. Josh Trent, welcome, my friend.
Jason, thank you for having me. This is a pleasure.
Yes, it's a pleasure to talk to you. You're in a new place. Your backdrop looks great. You look very happy. I know your wife's expecting a lot of big changes in your world. So
yes,
I'd love to see it.
Yes, I'm really excited about this too, because we all need healing right now. So what a beautiful place to talk about it, you know, the practical and the spiritual. So thanks, man.
Yeah, and sort of the reason I led off with that, because you have a very fascinating story about how you met your wife and how that all happened. So I would love for you to share that, because it's a perfect example, as far as I'm concerned, about how magical the world is.
Yes, we are. I've heard this from many guides. I just got back from a 10-day Native American Vision Quest, and two guides, Mark Tollefson and Tim Kokorin, said, if you are ever lost, stop. If you are ever lost in the forest, the most powerful thing that any of us can do is to stop, because there are people trying to find you. And we can take that same metaphor for our lives. If we are lost, if we need healing, if we need like surrender, stop. And that was my world 2 years ago, where to share the story about my partner, Carrie Michelle, and our child, Nova, 2 years ago, I had just gotten back from Costa Rica. I had gotten my ass kicked in an ayahuasca ceremony. I really was scrambling to make sense of my psyche that had been shattered. And I got home, and it was the most beautiful gift, because in the midst of my current healing that I was experiencing almost 2.5 years ago now, I found a man named Paul Check, and I actually had found him 10 years earlier, and he had me on his podcast called Living in 4D, and he looks at me right in the podcast. He must have seen something from his third eye, and he said, Josh, what's the most important thing in life for you right now? And I said, finding my divine partner. And he's like, would you like help with that? With his smile. And I said, sure. And so he said Paramahansa Yogananda's prayer twice on the show, which is, bless me that I choose my life's companion according to the laws of perfect soul union. And we said that twice. And I had a feeling of spaciousness, like something clicked inside of me, because I realized that I was trying to force a lot of things in my life instead of receive the universal wisdom from our Mother Earth that we are from. We are not on her, we are from her. And also from Great Spirit. I was really just ignoring a lot of the breadcrumbs. And when that happened on his podcast, I met Carrie less than 2 weeks later. The mother of my child. I met her 2 weeks later in Sedona on a rock called Cathedral Rock. Now, I'm not a religious man, but what an incredible story that, looking back, I'm like, wow, it's so easy to connect the dots. You know, in the spaciousness and in the stillness where I'd been running from ceremony to ceremony to figure out how do I get healed. Meanwhile, the earth and God was bringing things and people to me all the time. All I had to do was slow down enough to listen. And also to pray, you know, to give homage to the things that maybe I don't understand and honor the mystery of this life. And so, to no surprise, here we are 2 years later, you know, we're recording this interview, and my son will be here on Earthside soon. So it's a unique story, man. I think it's one that I really enjoy telling, that because it honors the mystery. I didn't know in that moment when I was on his podcast that less than 2 weeks later, I would meet the mother of my child after having a prayer that's so divine. Really powerful, man. So here we are.
I love it. And it is a cool story. And that was only in the recent past. And so I'm curious, you know, for you to get to that point, to be able to even entertain something like this strange prayer from a yogi that has long since passed, sure, sitting there with Paul Check, you know, that's something that you can go through from the mental perspective, but to be in the heart perspective and to actually sit with that and really be with that prayer, what did it take you? Because I know you've been sort of on a, let's call it an awakening or spiritual journey for, mm-hmm, well, your whole life, but I guess My real question is when did that sort of click on for you that, oh, I'm a human here on this sort of awakening path. There's something bigger. There's a greater mystery. Because I know I've known you for a few years now, and you've sort of always, you've had that in you since I've met you. But I'm curious when that really turned on for you.
Looking back, it really started at birth and even pre-birth when I was a starseed somewhere, I guess you could say, choosing the parents that I would have and the contrast that I would experience. But at 33 years old, that's when it really hit me the hardest, because prior to that, I was 10 years as a fitness professional. And so I'm like, you know, 10,000 hours with clients in gyms and really just shining light on other people and the dark parts of my psyche that, first of all, I didn't know how to explore them. I didn't know that they even existed, and I didn't have the tools to do so. And so that happens with a lot of fitness and health professionals, is they're shining light on other people, but it keeps the dark parts of them dark. And that was my case at 33. I was in a relationship with a woman that ended up very badly. And we split, and I thought she was the one. And then I got fired from a corporate job, which was a beautiful gift, man. I mean, one of the most challenging things for so many of us. But when I got fired, I'll never forget this. I knew that I was going to make Wellness Force real. It had been something like in a dream in a little suitcase that I would check on every once in a while from like 2010 all the way up until 2014-15. And I felt both excitement and liberation and also petrifying fear, because I knew that everything that I had experienced up to that point, I was either going to do it or not. I was either going to live someone else's dream or I was going to live my own. And so it was the ultimate gut check moment. I was over the Carlsbad golf course in my friend's spare bedroom. I had just started the podcast. I was had a little rickety plastic stand that was like on a laptop and an old desk. And I was like, I'm going to do this no matter what. And I cried that night. It was the first time I had really, really, really cried to God. And I asked Spirit for direction. You know, where do I go from here? Because I'm not doing the other path. I've already lived someone else's dream. I've already gone the path of playing small. I've already done the things that help others' dreams. But what about mine? And I just said, God, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to be here if it's supposed to be like this, because I really would like to die if you want me to go that other path. And I just prayed and I said, what would you have me do? And over the next 6 months, I met certain people and I was just really honestly humbled, which is the way for most of us to achieve any kind of awakenings, to be spiritually and 3D world humbled. And that was the case for me, you know, one episode after another. And then 6 months later, we put my mom in a mental institution because she suffered from manic bipolar for quite some time. And so with my mother's health and with the relationship ending and getting fired from the job and then crying to God overlooking a golf course at like 3 a.m, you would say that I was ripe for an awakening. And so that was the case. And all these ingredients put together, you know, flash forward 7 years almost, Jason, 7 years now. We're having this conversation where I chose that path of listening to Spirit, not asking what do I get to do in this world, but asking, what will you have me do? What would you like me to do here in this world? Because I've done the stuff trying to force it, but I don't really think that power comes from force. Like, power comes from a place of calmness, a place of being secure in oneself. Power comes from peace. That's where real power comes from. You know, David Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force. Like, power comes from peace. And so this path for me and you and for all of us has been, okay, how do we achieve peace in oneself, in my own heart? Instead of asking, how do I have peace on earth and how do I heal the earth? Nope, it starts with you and I and everyone that's here with us, one lesson at a time, kneeling at the altar of humility, asking, Great Spirit, what would you like me to do? And being okay with whatever the answer is. And that's what led me here to you.
Yeah, well, and ultimately, you've at least at this point, you've landed on kind of breath work as one of your prime methods of, I guess, exploring a deeper spiritual connection, an embodied healing practice, as well as something that you can share and teach with the world, right? So that's an interesting place to land, because I know a little bit about your history with how you wanted to explore these paths, right? You said yourself, sure, you're not a religious man. So this is what I think is so fascinating. And I hope to permission in as many people as possible that we have the Judeo-Christian traditions. We've got the Eastern traditions. We've got the sort of indigenous and shamanic traditions from all around the world. We have perhaps even a more Western connection or tradition that is starting to emerge that doesn't have deep roots yet, but there's a lot of paths to the same place. And I'm curious how you landed on breathwork, because I know you've dabbled and explored and pulled wisdom from a number of different practices and traditions. So maybe you could just kind of walk us through some of the things that you explored and experimented with and some of the benefits that they provided for you and ultimately how you ended up with breathwork as kind of a central pillar for you.
Sure. Yeah. The big piece that I can say on breath is that and people have said this before, so I know this might sound however you want to take it, but the breath truly found me. You know, people talk about their calling, it finds them. It found me because I was searching in all the wrong places, but the whole time I was actually not breathing myself. And I want to get clear on what that actually means. Breath is the only voluntary and involuntary piece of the autonomic automatic nervous system that we have. I mean, think about this, Jason, you and I don't digest our own food. You know, unless we're like the Shaolin monks, maybe we do it then. But we don't beat our own heart either. Something else beats our heart. Science shows us that the SA node beats, but nobody can say why it beats. You take a heart out, you put it in someone else, it still beats. Is it the heart or is it the soul? So long story short, like when I found the breath, it was actually from Mark Divine. It was actually from Unbeatable Mind Retreat in 2016. I wasn't ready for it yet though. And this is honest. I wasn't ready for it. I did a catharsis breathwork session in 2016. I didn't really know why I was crying, but I was crying. You know, the catharsis breathing, which we can talk about, there's three large forms of breathwork. One of them is acute, one of them is cathartic, and then one of them is meditative. And each one has their own approach. But for catharsis breathwork, you're doing 20, 30, maybe even 60, 90 minute sessions of circular, continuous, conscious, connected breathing. And I was next to all these men that were, you know, very strong and very military minded. And I'm like, why am I crying? Later on, I found out that you and I both know the work of Bruce Lipton, like my issues were in my tissues. And so over the next 2 years, I started dabbling into breath work, just like any curious person would do. I would go to little workshops here and I would try some practices, but there really wasn't any trusted trainings like there is now. And that's why I created the Breathe, Breath, and Wellness program, is because all of us need to understand that we are breathing ourselves and also we are being breathed. And that's a really big piece to hold on to. And that means that we're never alone. The stress, the anxiety, and honestly, the depression that drove me for so long in my life, if I would have had the tools that I have now, I wonder if things would have been easier. Now, I don't regret anything because it led me to here with you and it led me to Wellness Force. But the breath called me in because I was searching for answers. And guess what answers I was searching for? How do I heal myself? How do I have peace inside myself? And how do I be a father and a king of my domain without faking it? You know, this phrase, fake it till you make it. Whenever we're faking it, we do this. We're hoping no one's watching us. We're not being in honesty and in integrity with ourselves. And so when I'm faking something, I'm holding my breath. And I think a lot of us are faking a lot of things. And so the breath is an antidote to lie. It's an antidote to fear. It's an antidote to living out of alignment with self. And that's what it was for me. That gift unfolded in my journeys to Thailand in 2018. And I learned from Niraj and Soma, and then I took some of the practices there, and I just started borrowing, Jason. You know, I was borrowing from Gwen Payne in Sedona and Anahata Ananda, and I was borrowing from Niraj, and I was borrowing from Dan Brulé and Dr. Belisa Vranich and all these people that have been my mentors, and I credit them in the program as well. But what really took it home for me was, if I can breathe, I can choose. And I'll close by just saying, like, it's on my arm for a reason. You know, se posso respirare, posso scegliere. And it means, if I can breathe, I can choose. I can choose to be loving. I can choose to be here with you and be present, not be on my phone. I can choose to look at the dark parts of myself that might really be uncomfortable. And that's where all the healing really lives and really is calling for, is that attention to the dark parts of self. So that's the short story, actually, of how the breath found me.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you know, this is one of those things that when you actually sit with your breath, it can be a little challenging, right? Because it does bring you into your present moment, right? And so often, this is what we're often trying to avoid, is the feeling that I have right now in my system, which may be anxiety or fear or loneliness or sadness or whatever it might be, disconnection. And so when we first start to engage the breath in a conscious way, then it instantly brings me here, right? If you are actually focusing on the breath, there's no place else that you can be other than mm-hmm. here in the moment, right? In the now. And that can bring up some stuff, right? So there is a little bit of fear sometimes. If I'm going through a moment, there's a real reason why I actually may not want to be present. And yet, as I become present, that is when things resolve. That is when things move. That is when the peace comes after this, right? And so this is what I find so fascinating with the breath. And yet, I think because we do it all day long, and because everybody does it, it seems so unspecial, and it seems so, it doesn't seem like a medicine that can be that powerful, right? And so what do you say to those people that really, like you were, what would you say to yourself back then? Even then you had a cathartic moment where you cried because you did breath work, and yet you still didn't get it. What might you tell yourself at that point to maybe help it sink in a little bit further of how powerful the breath can be if you just continue to give it a shot?
Yeah, it's how I started our conversation. If people are denying the truth of the present moment, just stop and be aware of what's there. Now, that might seem esoteric to a purely logical-minded person, but right now in this moment, if we were to just put both hands on our belly and breathe like an animal does, right? An animal breathes like a bellow on a fireplace. 360 degrees. You watch a dog breathe. They breathe outwards. They don't breathe up. We have been taught in society to breathe up. And when we're breathing up, all of our energy, all of our chi, all of our prana is in our head. And we're in our heads all day long anyway. So even if there was some kind of wisdom that wanted to come through to heal anyone, if we're in our heads and we're holding our breath, the wisdom can't come through. A good analogy might be like, have you ever seen dirty contacts on an electrical system? The breath has a way of clearing away the soot and the confusion from dirty contacts. But if you're not breathing correctly, you might say, oh, I've done breath work. I know exactly what it is, but your contacts are dirty. So in order to truly clean your contacts, you have to do full, deep, diaphragmatic breathing. And I would say to the people that might have doubts, I would say, how can you love your doubt? how can you love the doubt that you have in your mind that tells you this won't work, or I've done this before, whatever it is, and notice where that really tyrant of the mind has directed you in your life to sabotage you. In other words, give it a shot. Do real conscious connected breathing so that you understand how to clean your contacts and not have your mind take over. That's what breath work really does. You know, the one key aspect of breath work that I think applies to spiritual people, but also scientific people, Jason, is it's what's called the default mode network. If we can turn down the volume on our safety searching mechanism, you know, the posterior cingulate, the prefrontal cortex, and the amygdala, if we can turn down the volume on our complete and total, I guess you could say, alarm system, the default mode network is most active when we're in stillness. And so to the degree that your default mode network is turned down by doing conscious connected breathing, your present moments will be easier to experience. And that's both a scientific and a anecdotal report card that anyone could take stock of. And so I would tell the people that have doubts about breathing, first of all, when's the last time you've ever taken 6 rich, full, circular, deep breaths? Because the reality is you probably ever haven't. You probably have never even known how to. And then secondly, I would have them take an inventory of where has that tyrant of the mind that always tries to sabotage or belittle or placate things that God put here on this earth for us to experience. And by the way, God's not a bearded dude in the sky. I'm talking about the creator of all things, the one that's fueling you to do what you do too, man, the one that's fueling the awakened community here. So it's a long answer, and it's a deep answer, because everyone breathes, yet everyone is also being breathed. And that's what we have to come to peace with.
Well, I think it's so fascinating, right? We come into this world and the first thing that we do is take a breath, right? That is the sign that the infant, in fact, you're about to go through this right now,
yes.
Right? And so this is the breath of life that is entering the body, right? And we use that as a key indicator for healthy life, right? And so I just find it fascinating that in the West, we have sort of disregarded the breath as mm-hmm. something that doesn't need to be paid attention to, right? And in the yeah. Eastern traditions, we have pranayama, which is a whole science of yoga, right? There are hundreds, if not thousands, of different breathwork techniques that they use for different things. You know, one of the things that I know, because I'm pitta in Ayurveda, which is a kind of the fiery metabolic activity, to cool the breath, there's a cooling breath that goes, right? And that's something that is so weird to me when I first heard that and saw that. Sure. And yet they've figured this stuff out on a deep level, these little micro techniques on how to do this. So I think it's fascinating that in the East, they've really made this a focus of the martial arts, the yogas, the pranayamas, all kinds of traditions, let alone meditation. And we're sort of rediscovering it here in the West. And what's yeah. cool is I think that we do need programs like yours that are different than the pranayamas and some of the Eastern and perhaps more developed practices, because we need to apply them to our Western world, and we have a Western exactly. mind and a Western approach. And so we're applying that in the way that we would. And so I think it's super beneficial to have that come at us in a new way.
I got to piggyback on what you said, two things. First of all, yes, we need simplistic, practical ways to breathe, which is exactly how I built the program. I looked at all these esoteric concepts, which they're valuable. Everything you've mentioned, incredibly valuable. Incredibly valuable. But not everybody has a year to travel the world and go sit in caves and breathe with shamans, right? Or with breathwork practitioners.
Well, and a lot of this stuff is in Sanskrit, right? It's in a language.
Yes.
Or, so you do have to do a lot of your own research.
A lot of your own research.
Yoga or Ayurveda in order to even get a semblance for some of this stuff.
So that's the first piece, 100% on what you just said. And since we're talking about, you know, our babies, right? My son to come. If you cover a baby's nose, a baby will start to choke. Now think about that. Why did the creator make it so that if a baby's nose is plugged, that a baby will start to choke? It's because we were designed to have that circular breath through our nose. We have all become mouth breathers. Most people breathe with protracted shoulders, a forward flexed kyphotic spine, and most people breathe from their sternum to their neck. And most people have really tight sternocleidomastoid muscles. This is the majority of the public. I would be suffice to say probably 80% of people or more are breathing completely improper. I just had a client here. This is 3 days ago. I just had a guy who came. We did a full day together. We did hot and cold therapy in the garage, and we did the healing mat with catharsis breathing. And it took me almost 45 minutes to teach him how to breathe through his belly, because we have all been trained to breathe through our chest.
Right.
And that's the big piece that we all have to understand here is, look, you can do all the biohackings, you can go get all the heady things, but until you learn how to embody the breath practice, so you're truly breathing through your diaphragm, no amount of breath work is going to save you, because you're not giving your body the kind of nutrients that it really deserves and what it needs. And so there's training that this is involved for. You know, none of us know how to shoot pool. We have to practice. None of us know how to play football. We have to practice. Well, we have to practice with our breath too. It doesn't matter if it happens unconsciously. We have to consciously practice it too.
Right. Well, and one of the things too about breath work that I think is worth noting is that it's more than just this oxygen CO2 sort of exchange, right? And that's the way we think about it oftentimes in the Western world, and sort of this mechanical minded, is that I'm just breathing in sort of the oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, and it's coming in and it's being exchanged through my body, and then the carbon dioxide's leaving, and we have this beautiful cycle of the trees and blah, blah, blah. But there's so much more to it, right? And this is where I think an awakened mind, a deeper spiritual connection, you start to understand this from a different level, not from a mind perspective, but as you get more intimate and familiar with the breath and what it is, then there's a deeper realization that starts to happen. And it continues as far as I'm aware, right? I'm only aware of a certain amount. And from what I can tell, it goes deeper, much, 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 much deeper. And so as I continue to deepen my own practice and my own awareness with the breath, then new realizations start to come. And they just come. And this is what's so fascinating. I think it's why it's so, for me, there's a lot of reasons to explore breath, right? The physical healing that can happen, the mental and emotional healing that can happen. And this this deeper connection to ourselves. And it is a process of awakening in and of itself, right? And so there's real value in the breath. And some of these things can't be told. They can be spoken of.
Yes.
And you can try to point to some of these things. And it can be helpful to point. But some of this stuff is a realization that one has to have. At least this is my experience.
My experience too. And I love to use the word experience, because we have to be very cautious of wearing our unearned wisdom on our sleeve. I think a lot of people in the health industry, or just really in any industry, doesn't matter what industry you're in.
Yeah.
We have a tendency to, I have a huge bookcase, to get all the books, to listen to all the podcasts. I call this the arc of intelligence in my training, and not just with clients, but in all of our programs. We gather, we apply, and then we embody. But people want to go right to gather, right to embody. They want to skip the apply. You can't skip
and then they
the
want
apply.
To teach it, right? They want to teach
and then
it.
And then they want to teach it. And then, you know, it takes them 45 minutes to learn how to breathe their belly. And that's not to shame anyone. Like, I love this person. I honor his journey. I do. And I honor all of our journey, because there have been times when I first started my podcast where I faked it till I made it. You know, I literally did what I'm saying now from this vantage point because I was in my lower self. I hadn't gone through enough experience. I didn't have the life experience to really have my badge of wisdom be earned. And this is the key, man, without my wounding. My wisdom that I'm giving to the world is only going to be as potent to the degree that I'm not throwing my wounding on top of it. My wisdom is not clouded by my wounding. And so that's the big piece for all of us here. And you've spoken to this, is like, as we go deeper into the breath and we start to receive more of the awakening and more of the benefits of awakening, we're awakening to self. Sometimes what we find is going to be really, really scary. And that's okay. You have to have the right kind of practitioners that can hold the space, both energetically, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We have to be able to be in catharsis breathwork sessions where there's truly the desire for healing and not just monetary compensation. And unfortunately, that's what I see a lot in our space, is people that are having their wisdom clouded by their wounding, wanting to have that wisdom that they actually haven't earned, and also doing things just for financial motivation. So we have to be aware of this, not judgmental, but we have to be like aware of that this exists. And we have to really get clear on our intuition. Like, how do we use our own breath to decipher what kind of breath training that we want to do, and also who we trust?
Right. And this is something worth exploring too, the various types of breath works and the teachers, and it's worth exploring and opening up ourselves to these ideas and to these people. And I think this is what's cool about the breath, is that it's actually not a huge investment in our time or our money.
No,
it's a simple exploration that is easy to do. And what's cool too is that we'll have Josh on to do a masterclass session as well. So I hope you guys are able to catch that. We'll go deeper into some of these practices. He'll teach us some of this stuff that we can take home. But Josh, before we go, I would love for you to give just a couple tangible things for people that they can do with the breath, right? Maybe to calm anxiety, or if they feel depressed,
sure.
or something that they can do to help them go to sleep or wake up, or anything that you can throw at us that would be beneficial from a breathwork standpoint.
Yeah, two practices. And we're going to be doing a deeper dive when we do our masterclass. So definitely check us out there. But two things. The first is, go to wellnessforce.com/M21. There's a 3-minute practice in there. You can start to, I guess, dip your toe in the water. That's the first piece. The second piece is, there's two practices that most people can use right now that'll give them massive benefit. One is the 4-7-8 breathing for sleep, and the other one is a 5-count box breath. Now, they're just as easy as they sound. 4, 7, and 8. All that means is, you're going to inhale through your nose for 4, you're going to hold for 7, and you're going to exhale audibly through your mouth. And that's the key. Most people miss this. Audibly exhale slowly for 8 seconds and then repeat, right? So 4, 7, 8 breathing. That has been shown in both my own life, my clients, the program people, and also in different studies for sleep, breath work on sleep. 4, 7, 8 for people that have trouble sleeping. So inhale through your nose for 4, hold at the top for 7. You want to fill your belly with the air. And then when you exhale, exhale audibly for 8, like,
Can we try that? Can we try one of those?
Now, if you're driving, you shouldn't be watching video anyways, but if you're driving, pull over, because we don't want you passing out on the road, okay? So the first thing you do is just set your space. Make sure that your knees are at or below your hips. Make sure you're sitting up straight. You don't want to be slouching, right? So all the chakras right behind me is the chakra chart. Make sure your body is straight so all your energy centers can be aligned. And just close your eyes for a second and just take a big breath in through your nose for 4 seconds. And hold for 7. In a couple of seconds, we're going to get audible sound for 8 seconds. Audible exhale. And then you would repeat.
And so how many of those do I want to do to get sort of the benefit?
I would do at least 2 of them.
Okay.
But the benefit's going to come the more you do it. You'll know you're on the right path, Jason, if you start to feel like the sensation of eyes watering. Yawning is a really good sign. You know that you're probably needing 2 more if you're already yawning. And in nature, we yawn all the time as animals. We've just forgotten this. You know, we've been demonized like we shouldn't be yawning. So yawning is really good. So 4, 7, 8 for sleep, 2 to 6 to maybe even 8 rounds of what we just did, 4, 7, 8. And you know you're on the right path when you're yawning. So that's one really great take home right now.
And I want to comment on this one, because I first learned about this one from Andrew Weil in one of his books way back when. And it's such a cool breath, because if for me, a while back when I wasn't able to really meditate, I wasn't able to actually sit there and sort of switch off and just relax. Yeah. My mind would go to the point where it just became pointless for me. This was one of those techniques that I used as almost a replacement or a substitute for meditation. And it was able to get me into meditation, right? So mm-hmm. if I'm going from traditional day into yeah. meditation, yeah. you know, I often found that I needed a transitory experience. And this was one of those where I could just do this 4, 7, 8 breath. And I would do enough. 6 to 8 of them is typically what I would do, because that doesn't really take very long. And it feels better. The more I did them, the more rounds I did, the better I felt, the more yeah. calm I felt, to the point where it's like, oh, I don't really want to stop this. This is great. Yeah. I not only feel good emotionally, yeah. like I feel clear and relaxed, but you can start feeling the body, the changes going on in the body. And that's what's really cool too. And for really me, cool. I like to push things. I like to really like see what's going to happen if I do this 7, 10, 20, 30 times. Like, is there some changes that I'm going to experience? And so that's what I noticed.
That's beautiful, man. And I think that we're all going to experience changes if we're doing the breath properly. One thing that we'll talk about in the masterclass is breathing from your diaphragm. We'll show you how to do that. Because like I said, you could go through the 4, 7, 8. You could do it 2 to 8 times. You maybe don't feel like you're yawning and you're wondering, am I doing this wrong? There's really no right or wrong, but there is optimal, right? So I'm not going to shame people like, oh, they need to be breathing in a certain way. Like, how you breathe is how you breathe. If you can get air in, even if you're not perfect, you're eventually going to get the benefit. But there is an optimal way. There's an easier path by using actually the breathing that will cue for the kidneys when we do the masterclass, and also the diaphragm. It's a muscle that most people get wrong. They think the diaphragm's in the stomach. It's not true. The diaphragm is a dome-shaped muscle at the bottom of the sternum that actually goes 360 around our whole body. So when we're breathing through our belly, we're actually just shifting organs so the diaphragm has space to move. That's wow. what most people get wrong. And that's what I want to share with people. Belly breathing. Yes, you're breathing through your belly. But it's because the diaphragm goes like this and goes like this. It's a 360 organ, goes all the way around and all the way up and down. So that's something to pay attention to when you're doing your 4, 7, 8 or when you're doing any breath is, okay, can I breathe like an animal that I am? Because we're animals. We've just forgotten it. We've become disconnected from our animalness.
So you had another breath work you wanted to teach us, another, yes. another technique.
Yes. So this one is very simple. It's draw a box. Okay. So I'm going to inhale through my nose. I'm going to hold. I'm going to exhale through my mouth. I'm going to hold. And literally, you know, if you had a box right here, I'm just holding up a wallet. It's a square. We'll do one round together. So first, just set your space. Exhale through your mouth. Breathe in rich through your nose for 5. Hold. Exhale for 5. Hold at the bottom. And let's do one more. Breathe in through your nose for 5. Hold. Exhale for five. And hold the bottom for five. A lot of times I like to stretch the back of my neck out. And now just take one big rich breath in through your nose. And let it go.
And so when we're pushing it out, we're not forcefully pushing out on the exhale. We're just naturally exhaling to the bottom of the breath, right to where it's sort of comfortable, more or less, right?
The cue would be rich, deep inhale, soft, effortless exhale.
Got it.
And that goes for most practices when we do the acute and the meditative. The catharsis breathing is different, right? Acute breathing is, and this is what we talk about in the breathe program. Acute is, I'm about to go on a stage. What do I do? Mm. I'm going to get in a fight with my spouse. What do I do? I'm in traffic. What do I do? I'm feeling overheated. What do I do? I'm in an emergent. There's all these different kinds of styles that are acute in nature. Meditative breathing is more 7 minute, maybe even 11 minute, 12 minute, where we can do circular combinations of breath retention holds and box breathing and circular breathing. And these bring us to a higher elevated state because we're literally breathing energy up the spine. Anytime you're focused on the inhale in breath work, you're pulling energy up here to the crown. Anytime you're focused on the exhale, you're grounding yourself. You're bringing yourself down. That's why the box breath is used for soldiers, because it grounds soldiers down, soldiers that might be upset or stressed. So box breathing is really good for grounding yourself.
Amazing. Josh, well, you've clearly indicated that you know a lot about the physiology, how the breath works, and all the different techniques that are used for a variety of practical applications, right? I mean, this is what's cool about breath, is that it's, because it is a master regulator of all systems in the body, you can use these little applications throughout your day, right? It's not that you're breathing for this 20-year effect, right? Even though, sure, that is a very desirable objective and very real, but there's sort of intermediate benefits, and then there's very acute short-term benefits too. So thank you for sharing all this. And again, for those who purchased the package, Josh is going to be teaching a masterclass, and we're going to go deeper on some of this stuff. And I'm excited to learn a little bit more about some of these techniques that can be used. So Josh, thank you so much for joining me today on Awaken the Healer Within. You're a master. I love you, brother.
Thank you. Love for you too, man. Thanks for everyone for being here with us too. Remember, be in the present moment. I know there's a lot of things that pull us out of it. So take a breath, be right here. It's all good. Or it
Wonderful.
Will be. It'll all be good. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Josh. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we'll see you on the next one.